Well, good morning. Okay, Paul wanted me to move this, and now, all right. I was happy the way it was, but Paul said, if you want to move it to the center, I'm like, okay, it's off a little bit, so I want to get, all right. I'm humbled to be with you this morning. The Lord's been humbling me on this passage. This morning, if you want, got your Bibles, turn over to Mark chapter 12. We'll be focusing on verses 18 through 27. And when Pastor Paul and Charlie asked me about taking a passage of Scripture, I said, sure, I got 40 years of sermons. And I didn't say that to him. But I said, okay, here it's Mark chapter 12, verses 18 through 27. And I thought, okay. So I went, and I'm confessing here, I have never preached this passage. Never. I've been before. I've been after. I've been even in the parallel passages. I have not preached this passage. And my first reaction was, I'm retired. And then I had this lesson that the Lord just said. I was listening to John Lennox. I like John Lennox, mathematician, apologist from Ireland. I could just hear him talk all day long. He said, you need to be continuing growing. It's like, Lord, I don't want to hear that. So I'm in this as I've been humbled, and I'm getting used to technology here, so all that. So this is the passage we're in this morning, and it's been a great, God just taught me so much. But, if I had to kind of sum it all up, this passage of Scripture, before we get into it this morning, is the number two priorities is knowing God's Word and knowing His power. And what he desires to do. Second thing, those two first points, I'm not following my outline yet. Second thing I'd put out to you is that Jesus, just kind of backing up here, and Paul did a great job, I listened to the message last week, of submitting to authorities, and what does that mean, and how we're in this world. And Ruth and I have been talking, it's like we don't live for the day, we live in the day. And there's a difference. And there's a lot of people who are living for the day. And as you know, Paul was laying out last week of submitting to authorities, and Jesus, he's in the final stretch. I mean, that train is just chugging along, it's moving, it's getting faster and faster and faster, and the crowds are getting bigger and bigger. And the religious leaders, all the leaders are trying, like, we've got to stop this train. And they're doing everything they can to stop it and trying to trip him up. And he's just barreling through the whole thing. It's like nothing seems to be able to stop him. And this step this morning where we find ourselves with the Sadducees. Now, what do you know about the Sadducees? Anybody know anything about the Sadducees? Okay, that's how I learned the difference between a Pharisee and a Sadducee, is a Pharisee believed in the resurrection, and a Sadducee did not believe in the resurrection. That's how they were sad, you see. So that's how I remember it. That's how I taught it when I did some teaching at Mount Olive College, and that's how you can use it however you want to. That's how they were sad, you see. But as I was researching a little bit about the Sadducees, there's not a lot known about the Sadducees. Not a lot is even said in the Scripture about the Sadducees. So what does that say? How important were they? Probably not. From what I can tell you, as getting into this, is that they had the wealth, they had the power, they were pretty much concentrated in Jerusalem, they were self-contained, they had it all. And they knew it. And they prided themselves. They only believed in the first five books of the Old Testament. Okay, here's an Old Testament question. What's the first five books of the Old Testament called, Caleb? What? The Pentateuch. Very good. Give you an A for that. They only believe in the first five books of the Bible. That's called the Pentateuch. That's Genesis through Deuteronomy. And not only that, they didn't believe in demons. They didn't believe in the devil. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the power of God. But they said, we stand on our Bible. Well, we're only going to stand on five books, but the rest, we're just going to kind of ignore that. And I have to look around a little bit. This morning we were walking in and saw a lady who was trying to get in. She wanted to get to the rec department, and she realized it was locked. She said, oh, they told me if I pay $5, I could play here. I said, well, you know, Ruth said, why don't you come on? We're having church here, and this probably won't be open until tomorrow. And she said, oh, are you ready for the rapture? I was like, yeah, I'm ready. I said, the Lord can come anytime He wants. Question is, are you ready? She said, she's trying to impress me a little bit. She says, I'm a dispensationalist. And I want to say, so what? But I didn't. I really wanted to kind of, she knew the terms, and that's that, she knew how to talk the language, but she didn't want any part. Not at this point. But it was a seed planted, and I would tell you, if I introduce this passage before we read, is how the Sadducees had religion, but they had it all wrong. And that's how a lot of our world is today. You know, as Jesus is in the courts in His final week, and, you know, He's already, people are marveling how Jesus is jumping through all these hoops with the Pharisees and the Herodians and enough of some of that detail. I'm not the detail books. But basically, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection, and Jesus confronts them on this. And basically what they believe, and I wanted to get this term in my outline because it kind of stuck with me. I shared it with Charlie. They believe that Abraham is nothing more than desert dust. That Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, you know, desert dust, that's it. When you die, that's it. And so they pose this question, and we'll read it in a second. They pose this question based upon the Mosaic law, is that, you know, that thank the Lord I have an older brother that he's still alive, because I was not about to marry my sister-in-law. And we both agree. We got the right wives for each other, but it would not be good. But without getting into that detail here, they just, that was kind of their, which came first, the chicken or the egg question, that, you know, they just thought, well, here's our time to shine. And so they just know they're going to trip Him up here. And Jesus doesn't take the bait. He doesn't take the bait at all. And then I was thinking, as I was working on this message, I thought about a question that a friend of mine put up. He's long since gone to be with the Lord, and I want to share it with you. So if you put it up there, Paul, did you get it up there? It's up there? Okay. I just want you to look at this question and just ponder this question a little bit, because it's along the same lines as basically what the Sadducees were asking. What do you think about the various aspects of the unique possibilities of man's transcendence with respect to the cosmological realms of neo-supernaturalism? Yeah. Yeah. He used to pose this question, and I've used it a couple times. If I could memorize it well enough to be able to do it with a straight face. But that question is kind of reserved for those who know it all, who know they know it all, who have it all figured out. And so, you know, I've just had some fun with it. And a couple of years ago, my son was in college, University of Mobile. Some of his college friends were kind of on social media. And so I put this question up on social media to see if they would take the bait. And some of them did. Some of them did. Well, I have not done it before, but I thought, I pulled a Charlie Miller. I thought, I'm going to put this question in ChatGPT. Yeah, yeah. So let me, this is funny. So first thing ChatGPT says is, you're using the questions that teachers use to ask students who aren't paying attention. And then it said, do you want to get a serious answer to this, or you want something pithy. Like, I don't want to waste my time on a serious answer because it's not a serious question. So here's what ChatGPT says is a witty answer. And I didn't put it on the slide, but here. Sounds impressive, but I'm pretty sure neo-supernaturalism is just a spiritual equivalent of cosmic fog machines trying to hide the fact that no one knows what they're talking about. Exactly. But I would encourage you, if you want to take that question and take it and play with it and see what people say, you know, when you're interacting with people and we're all kind of on autopilot and then you just want to kind of get their attention. Yeah, it's like, I had an old church treasurer in my church. He'd go into the deli and say, "Can I get something under 100 pounds of potato salad?" And they'd say, "What? Yeah, I want something under 100 pounds of potato salad." "Well, how much do you want, Mr. Davis?" "I want something under 100 pounds." You know, anything to kind of get people's attention. And Jesus, the master teacher, just he doesn't fall for the bait. But he's looking at a group who have it all figured out. They've got it all tied up in a neat little bow. And let me, on a side note, let me just say, when Jesus, I haven't read the scripture yet, but when Jesus confronts them, answers in a way they're not expecting, I just know, it's not written down anywhere, I just know for a brief moment the Pharisees were saying, "Yes, he got him. We couldn't get him, but yes, he got the Sadducees. He cut them down." Oh, okay, we're all on the same side. We got to, you know, it's just a little humor part on my part here. But, you know, they had denied both the Word of God and the power of God. Look with me now as I read verses 18 through 23. "And the Sadducees came to him, who say that there is no resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, 'Teacher, Moses,'" now that sounds really good, sounds good, doesn't it? "Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife, but leaves no child, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. And there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and then he died, left no offspring. And the second took her and died, leaving no offspring. And the third likewise, and the seven left no offspring. Last of all, the woman also died." Here we go. "In the resurrection, when they rise again, whose wife will she be? For the seven had her as a wife." Oh, man. You can imagine, they're just kind of sitting back, all kind of polished. They've got it all together. They've got all the money and they've got all the power. And I might add, they were really not liked among the people. They weren't. They were almost despised. I know it's hard to believe, but yeah. They had it all wrapped up. And looking at this passage, here's the thing. They knew the law, but they didn't know the Lord. You think about that for a minute. It's like the lady we talked to coming in. I don't see her in here. She knew the words. But what was more important to her was going and playing ball than to spend time in worship before the Holy God. To spend time in His Word. You know, there's no other place I'd rather be except be in the presence of God with God's people worshiping Him. And let me add to this note here. The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. Let me tell you, every single one of us, lost and saved, God created you for eternity. Everyone buried in the cemeteries. I've been around long enough now, especially where I live now, that when I go to cemetery, it's like a family reunion. I remember so-and-so there. You know, that was a scoundrel there. I buried him. And, oh, yeah, it's like a family reunion. Every single person that has been alive, is in an eternal state. The question is whether with God or separated from God. And I was just pondering that thought. You know, we've lost our heart and our compassion for the lost. Or maybe we never had it. And that says a lot for me, but I remember, this summer Ruth and I took off, went up north, and we were in Boston, and we went by the famous church where Paul Revere's buried and John Hancock. And the best grave I saw was the guy took us by. He said, "I got to show you this grave too. Mother Goose is buried here." I said, "No, not the one who wrote Mother Goose, but her name is Goose, so we call her Mother Goose here. Buried not far from John Hancock and Patrick Henry. Paul Revere. They're all dead, but they're alive. We were created for eternity. The question is, with him or without him?" And even Jesus felt the separation from the Father briefly. Remember when he hung on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" If he felt that way, how do you think people today are feeling stepping out into eternity without Jesus? I can't even begin to imagine. The Sadducees were in this state of, they denied the power of God, they denied the Word of God, they accepted the law of Moses, but they didn't know the one who made the law. They could quote Moses, but they didn't believe what Moses believed. They didn't see the Red Sea part. They didn't see the water coming out of the rock. They didn't see how for 40 years God... They didn't see. All they knew was they had what they had. They were happy with what they got. And it's eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we're gone. We're desert dust. No. Wasn't that way. They honored the Scriptures intellectually, but not spiritually. I got up this morning and I was reading my little devotion book, and it's like, I love how the Old Testament gives us examples, but my devotion this morning was on 1 Kings, Elijah on the Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, and the odds were 450 against one. Well, I'll take the one with God any day over the 450. And I was pondering and meditating over this, the power of God, what it is to live in His Word with His power, with His Spirit showing us and revealing us. See, you can't have just the Word without the Spirit, because you'll dry up. You can't understand it. We need God to help us understand His Word. But if you have all the Spirit, so I tell my Pentecostal friends, I said, if you have all the Spirit, you'll blow up without the Word. If you have all the Word without the Spirit, you'll dry up. But if you have both, you'll grow up. And as I ponder and think about that thought, they knew what they knew, what they knew, or they thought they knew what they knew. They asked a theoretical question but ignored the theological truth. Their question about marriage, they weren't seeking the truth. They were seeking their pound of flesh. And you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. Do you know there's a diet in the Bible? Oh yeah, the Daniel diet. No, in Proverbs it says, "And put a knife to thy throat if prone to gluttony." Well, you're guaranteed to lose weight that way. It says it in the Bible. It's there. Go look it up. Don't look it up right now. Just wait. I didn't give the reference on that one. That just kind of flew in and flew out there. So, but it's when we come to God's Word saying, "I just know I've got to justify why I'm doing what I'm doing." No, it's He has far greater things for us. How can we hear His Word without listening and spending time with Him? One thing I love about coming here is the guided prayer in Scripture. I dearly love that. I'm not perfect at it, and I'm still growing with it, but I appreciate so much. I look forward to it. And when I'm in other churches, filling in from time to time, Let me tell you, it's not done in other churches. I wish it was. And there are times when I'm called on preach and I go in other churches and preach and it's not done. It's like, I miss it. And I want to stand up and say, hey folks, before we have the sermon, we're going to do this. Maybe I ought to do that. I haven't felt led to do it, but it's God's Word is special. And it's special because His power tied in with His Word, the Spirit of God intermingling with His Word, helps me understand what I can't understand. And I don't have to question, what do I think about the various aspects, the unique possibilities of the super, you know, I don't have to, that's garbage. You and I were created for eternity. And those Sadducees today are as alive today as they were yesterday, except they are in an eternal state of separation from God. And I would tell you that on my worst day, when I felt isolated from God, thank God for His mercy, because I've never been isolated from Him. If you're trusting in anything other than Him, if you're abiding and feeding on any other word besides His Word, relying on any other power, any other spirit other than the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, it is leading you down a path of eternal separation and destruction. Is that an amen or an oh me? You know, they knew the law, but they didn't know the Lord. Second point, the eternal reality, the resurrection. Look at verses 24 through 25. Jesus said to them, is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you are neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. He didn't answer their question with philosophy, but with a revelation. I rarely heard I was like a little angel growing up. But here, I can take the fact here, what Jesus is saying is that we're going to be like the angels. Let me tell you, the difference between us and angels, the angels didn't have a Savior die for them. You and I have. They can't relate. They are messengers of God and they're created by God, but they can't relate. They don't know what it is to have blood shed for them. But Jesus gives this revelation here, this reality of the resurrection is, it's not what you think it's going to be. A lot of the problems, what I see reflecting in our world today is Satan and the flesh trying to mock everything that God does. Everything that God desired. He created marriage that to reflect the relationship of what eternity is going to look like. The love relationship between a husband and a wife is one that like the church to Jesus. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I can tell you what, it's going to be a whole lot better than what it is now. And our society in the flesh wants to distort that creation. It's like we got people, they can't figure out what gender they are. You can't figure out. I just say, draw near to Jesus and He'll take care. He will clear things up. When I read the Word of God and I don't understand and follow, don't quite understand everything He's talking about, Jesus is teaching that this next life, it's transformation. What does His Word say? To be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. Well, I got news for you. I'm present with the Lord every day, but it's going to be fully realized one day. You know, Ruth and I are starting to... I never thought I'd be living in North Carolina as long. I never wanted to move to North Carolina. Never wanted to live in North Carolina. All my relatives come out of North Carolina. I didn't like New Yorkers because the New York license plate had kicked me off the road more times than not. And the Lord put us smack here. And so some 35 years later, I'm here and the Lord says, guess what? We're starting to like, okay, I guess this is probably where we're going to our last breath here. So, you know, we've been talking like, okay, we need to make some final arrangements. And Valentine's Day, I stopped by the cemetery. I said, I need some prices on cemetery plots. It's Valentine's Day. And the ladies looked at me like, have you lost your ever-loving mind? Well, they gave me some prices, and they said, the cheapest, the newest section here, the most bare section, it's cheaper, but you can get this over here. I was like, lady, it's a piece of dirt. I don't care. I don't care where I'm put. I'm going to be with Jesus. So I did honor the Valentine's Day beyond that. It was just a little joke. I didn't give her the price list on that day. I waited a week or so. I'm not the brightest light bulb, but I knew. But you know what? Life and the resurrection is it's not just longer. It's going to be glorious. Everything will be complete. There'll be nothing. There'll be no more pain, no more anguish, no more anxiety, and all the fears and things that you and I deal with. I like the reality is that the power of God makes all things new. I feel like I'm so blessed being right here to be able to see the most glorious sunrises and the most glorious sunsets. I don't think, and you want to talk about the power of God and those who deny the power of God? Wow. But you see, I look for it. I look to see how the power of God is working. I look to see what He's up to because I'm in that relationship. I can't relate to the fact of He's not in my life. You know, I believe that, you know, what someone's quoted is, if God can create life out of dust, why can't He raise the dust again? And that means Mother Goose and John Hancock and all the others that are dead. You know, you walk through the cemetery, you see all these big mausoleums and all that. They're all dead. But yet they're alive. In Jesus or without Jesus. Huh. All right. The next part here. Verse 26 and 27. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses and the passage about the bush how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong. It's just humorous to me when I look, you know, Jesus. You know, my vernacular, what I would say is, guys, you're not just wrong. You're dead wrong. And you're not just dead wrong. You've gone one direction when your wife said go another. Husbands can relate to that. You know, you're not just, you're wrong. You've missed the boat. As you know, I was talking about my devotion a little bit this morning. After I finished with 1 Kings, there was a little Bible trivia next to it. And I thought, oh, well, I'll do that before I go get ready. And there was like 10 or 12 questions. And I failed it. It's like, Lord, what are you trying to do to me? I don't know it all. Pastor Paul doesn't know it all. Just ask Rebecca that. We don't know it all. We're all just kind of, we're journeying through while God is doing a work in us, doing a work in Island Church. But His name, God's name, reveals His nature. He didn't tell the Sadducees they were wrong. He lets them know He's not the God of the dead. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You remember at the burning bush when he takes them back to Exodus, Moses at the burning bush, and Moses says, "Who should I say sends me?" And the answer God gives is, "I am, not I was, not I will be. I am. I am the God, not of desert dust. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of Island Church. I'm the Lord and Savior. If you've trusted Him, He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He gave His life for me. He shed His blood for me. And no angel around created by God can say, they're covered by the blood. You and I have been covered by the blood of Jesus. How blessed we are. We don't deserve it. His name reveals His nature. Matthew chapter 22, this parallel passage, it says, when they heard this, Matthew 22, that says, when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at His teaching. Now, I don't know how I know how the Pharisees responded. They rejected Him just like they rejected God. But here's a little historical fact about the Sadducees. In 70 AD, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by Rome. And when the temple was destroyed, the Sadducees were no more. Their whole identity was gone. We're living in a world that's like, let's see what I can get today. I'm living for the day because I don't know whether I'll have it tomorrow, but I'm going to get as much as I can, as long as I can, because when I'm dead, I'm gone. The Bible doesn't teach that. I have a friend of mine who lives in our community. He's a Vietnam veteran, fighter pilot, grew up in church. Exercise with him numerous times. He said, "I don't believe in God, and I believe when you die, that's it." And every time I hear him say that, my heart just sinks, because it's not true. I'm living my life as if the day that I'm going to stand and kneel before my Lord. I long to hear question, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, how faithful I've been." Because I've not been always faithful. But I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And I'm trusting Him that He's going to bring me to that final completed state. Because I want to tell you, God's people will never cease to be. His church, I tell people, is quite an ugly looking bride right now. Instead of naming her Island Church or Faith Church, maybe you ought to call her Gomer. She's not very attractive right now. But in the Lord's eye, I shed my blood for her. I shed my blood for my people. I'd give my life, just as sure as I'd give my life for my wife. I'd give my life. I don't care what you think about her. It's my church. So if you belong to Him, death can't cancel that out. And I'm just reminded to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when you take this last breath, and guess what? We all will. You detail people, statistics are, it's going to happen. You know, I don't have a problem with dying. I have a problem with suffering. I don't like suffering. But even then, I have to trust the Lord with that as well. His love doesn't expire with the grave. He's the great I Am who walked with Abraham, still walks with His people today, and will continue to walk with us. And one day we'll fully realize what that relationship looks like. Until then, I want to reflect Jesus. So there's two things I want to just kind of draw to a close this morning that I think we need to know. Jesus gave the Sadducees really two diagnostic statements that every believer should take to heart. And He says, you do not know the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Well, I confess to you, I don't know it as well as I need to know. But I know it's the Word of God, and I value the Word of God, and I'm trying to grow in the Word of God, and let His Word permeate and change me. And I'm still, like that kid's song growing up in church, he's still working on me. I'm a big project. And I'm looking at some other big projects too. Yeah. Do you know the Scriptures, or you just know about Him? Knowing the power of God, you know, I think about all of it. The obstacles that, on the physical note, that Island Church has been facing with property and so forth, and you know, one obstacle after another. Do you think that catches God by surprise? He's doing more than we realize. Do you think maybe the Lord Jesus hanging on that cross and say, can we end this a little sooner? That's not in the Bible, but that's what the flesh would cry. Can we just go ahead and just settle this right now? I don't own the timetable. But I know who does. You just know the Scriptures, or just know about Him. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob still speaks in the present tense. He is, not was. The God of the living, if you belong to Him, you shall live also. And I know a lot of people today that I dearly love who are living by existing. And I can tell you, I'm not living by existing. I'm living in the day. Not for the day. I'm living in the day. And I will trust Him. And I want to just challenge you this morning. If your faith and your trust is in your 401k, whoopee, Social Security's getting a pay raise, federal workers like, I don't know when I'm going to get paid again. If your faith and trust is in what you can get and gain today, you've missed it. Because I'm going to tell you, without Jesus, you have nothing, and you have eternity to live with it. And that's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. I want to tell you, if you have any doubt about your salvation, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, your connection with eternity, if you have any doubt about that relationship, do not leave this building this morning with that doubt. It is not God's will. It is not God's plan. It is not His desire for you to be living a life in doubt of, okay, I might slip up and make God mad. Did I really? Don't leave with that. And I don't assume anything about anybody that if you've never trusted Him to be Savior and Lord. I'm going to tell you, I can't get by without His leadership, His direction, His love, His mercy. I cannot function without His wisdom. I don't have enough sense to know when to come out of the rain. But he does. You can trust him. All you have to do is just say, Lord, I've sinned against you. I believe you died for me. And unlike the angels, cover me with the blood. Forgive me of my sin. I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. Show me what that means. You pray that kind of prayer in your own way, he'll change your life forever. Or you can walk out the same way, living in doubt, living in fear. And Jesus looking at Jerusalem, shortest verse in the Bible, and Jesus wept. You think he's not weeping today? But that's not the final word. The final action, I want to call it a final action, is when he wipes those tears away. No more. Let me pray for us now. Lord, Father, I haven't done this passage justice for what you've done. But I pray for us that, Lord, if our faith and our walk and our trust is in anything else other than you, I'm asking you to reveal it right now. Let there be no doubts for us to take out this door. And may we take the light and love of Jesus and to know, Father, that all people we come in contact with have an eternal destiny. Those are big words, Lord, but you created us for eternity. And that your desire is for us to be in fellowship, in relationship, in communion with you. But even in the midst of that eternity, that if that's rejected, eternity is still eternity. An eternity of regret. An eternity of separation. An eternity of anguish. Of an eternity of misery. Not because of our personal pain, but because you're not with us. That's what this lost world has to look forward to. Lord, put people in our paths that we can share your light and love with. I pray for this one now that I haven't seen in a while who just believes that when you die, that's it. Open his eyes. Put more people on our hearts for us to pray for. And I thank you for the fellowship and the ministry and the worship and that flows from Island Church here. And may it continue to grow. May it spawn off into more churches, into more ministries, and more impact into your community. Because we're asking you, Lord, to take this and reclaim it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.